USA.
The week in wrestling as we barrel down the road to WrestleMania, the road to Dynasty, a road paved with fire promos, a road paved with 700,000 and 800,000 audiences for some companies, a road paved with so many things. I'm here with the True God covering everything, and probably be a little more efficient, quicker episode this week, because most of the things that we could discuss are to the point of redundancy now. AEW, you know, another week, barely getting 800,000, was 800,000 even. Several times dipping below 750. What more can we say that we haven't already said 100 fucking times? Is what it is.
I want to make it known. Just make it known, like, I give two shits about the rating, personally. You know, I've never cared about the ratings. But I always find it funny that when AEW does 1,900,000, which has been a very, very long time.
Yeah.
But
if any of you out there can remember back that far.
You know, gosh, like, I just did an article called Do You Remember? About Adam Bomb from the New Generation era, or Wrath, if you were a WCW fan. Got another one coming, actually. Another one coming a little later today, probably some tomorrow as well. But it feels like nostalgia almost to be like, you know, Pepperidge Farm remembers when AEW got 1,000,000, you know, 950 was like a consistent thing for a small period of time. And I'll say that when they were rolling and they were doing those numbers, AEW fans were like, oh, yeah, you know, like they could eventually maybe beat Raw 1 week, maybe beat SmackDown 1 week. You know, you never know. Like, there's always a chance that they could do that. And then the moment that the ratings drop, it's, oh, do you guys care more about ratings or cage match? You know, or what people are saying on cage match. Like, I can give two shits about either one. Like, at the end of the day, when it comes to wrestling, all I care about is what I like to watch and what I like to see. It's my, you know, my personal take on it. Like, I don't care about the ratings. But there is a problem. That's why we talk about it, because it's a consistent problem. They cannot get over the hump. And they've signed three of the, like, most important wrestlers, I'd say, of the last 10 years for different reasons. Mercedes Moné, you know, in North America, arguably top two, top three most important women in professional
wrestling. Three-fifths of the Tampa Bay WrestleMania main event reside in AEW.
Yeah. Which is like, you look at that and you go, okay, you have so many talented people. I mean, we're getting Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay out the gate. Brother Ospreay's been signed officially, you know, and as a full-time guy. He's been on TV for a couple of weeks now, maybe a month. And we're getting Bryan Danielson. We're about to get a classic. And people just don't care. Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, barely doing numbers. Willow and Rio, even though I love both of them, like, they're great. But once again, it's not cracking the numbers, you know. I don't really understand. And this week was different, you know. Dynamite and Rampage back to back. It was like a 3-hour Dynamite, if you will. Really. Like, should have been a 3-hour Dynamite, because that's basically what it was. So, you know, I don't know, man. This is an interesting time for AEW. I think, despite all of the money that Tony's throwing around to everyone not named True God, it doesn't seem like there's super excitement. I think, and I'm being careful here to not upset a certain fan base, but I think a certain fan base of someone who just recently arrived feels like we don't care what the ratings do as long as her segments do good. And that's a horrible way of kind of viewing it, because you need more eyes on the product as well in general. So it's like, if you only tune in, I'm only tuning in to watch this person and I shut it off, then that means those fans, the reason why you signed that person, it's not, I don't think it's sustainable. It's not going to do a big jump, because those fans seem to only care about that person and not the overall feel of the show. And there's tons of great wrestlers in AEW. You know, the Daniel Garcia thing was kind of hot. Now I guess I have not paid attention to Dynamite.
Disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, you know, shout out to our guy DG. I'm sure he's somewhere on one of his like 10 burners on Twitter and stuff. I hope he sees the support that he has, and I hope Tony on one of his burner accounts sees that people want to see DG be the person that upsets or takes the title from Adam Copeland. I would like to see that. I don't know what passing the title back between these two 50-year-olds really does for the, you know, growing the company and the growth in this new era that they're talking about, but I hope it's just a temporary reign to pass the torch to somebody else. But like I said, it's just some of the decision making to me. And I'll just say, I did catch like the highlights of the Edge and Christian match, Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage match, that headline. I did see some of the highlights. It seems like it was a really good match.
It was a really good match.
And, you know, Edge and Christian have always, I mean, they have great chemistry together. So that is what it is. Those two going out there having a great match is great. But, you know, what is this going to do for the future of AEW? Both of those guys got way more time behind them than in front of them. So I think it's, you know, it's just time to put the new faces in front. And I'm a little concerned about Dynasty too. You know, the ratings are not good. And I don't think bringing back your former world champion is going to really do much to bolster those ratings either. So, and I believe he's coming back a lot sooner than later. And
so when people, yeah. I think we've broken it down on here before, but when people, you know, that's their, all of a sudden, they don't think that the ratings matter whenever AEW does shitty numbers. Back when it looked like they were going to catch Raw during that one summer, we were all about talking about the numbers then. But now that, you know, it's a fucking death spiral, I don't have to care about the numbers. The rating doesn't, I like the show, so I don't know why people are so obsessed with the reason matters. The reason it matters and the reason you should care if you like the show you claim to is because to get a good rights renewal from Warner Brothers or from whomever, they have to do certain numbers and be attractive in a certain way and be headed in a positive direction. All of those things, I can't believe I'm like, but, you know, you don't want to give any people any room. You got to back them into a corner and pin them down with the fucking facts of why. Like, you know, you can pretend and have your head in the clouds or head in the sand, pretending like, a very obvious standard metric that people use to gauge success or positive or negative trajectories just isn't a real thing that doesn't matter, but it fucking obviously does. Because you guys wouldn't have been so pumped about it when they were about to catch Raw a couple years ago. If it wasn't, you wouldn't have been talking about the demo so much. If it wasn't, again, Chris Jericho fucking named himself after the demo, the demo god. Oh, but it doesn't fucking matter when y'all are eating shit. Right?
I remember that demo god. Jericho's such a jackass, man. Like, he's such a jackass. Like, he's so like self-boasting, just like pretentious, just so lost in his own world, which I guess does also play into what happened on Dynamite as well with him and Hook. I mean, somebody's like, oh, Jericho just put over Hook, you know, super, like that's why, you know, people like, oh, like there's a thing, there's like the running joke on, like, well, it's not even a joke because they're serious on Twitter where people are like, you can't ever doubt Chris Jericho and don't count him out. He's just great. That's why he's my GOAT. And it's just like, man, we gotta, I just need fans to like have a bit of normalcy. I see so many weird things from fans. It's like some consistency would help.
Like, it's okay to be like, your favorite company took an L or they're not doing as great. Like, I think that's okay. Like, we do sports podcasts. We you know, our teams take L's all the time. And we're not a part of those teams. We very much have, like, an attachment to those teams because, you know, you grew up watching these teams or whatever. But you have to understand, like, this is a business. You should want the business to do well. And when it's not doing well, you should have concerns. You know, we don't know what the profit margins look like for AEW. Nobody does. You can't, like, Tony's, you know.
They got to be fucking profits for there to be a profit margin.
Well, yeah, I mean, just saying, like, nobody knows what those look like, you know. So nobody, people are like, you know, this is nothing to Tony. Tony, though, like, this money he gave Mercedes is nothing. He could do that 10 times over. Well, interesting you say that. But it's just like, it doesn't make any sense to why people, like, why are you flaunting a billionaire's wealth who's not going to give you a dollar, not going to give me a dollar, clearly, and not going to also, like, this is not going to benefit you.
All of that could be completely true. It doesn't change the metric by which the success of a fucking wrestling company is measured.
No.
Because I like it doesn't fucking... Cool.
Have you seen it? The AEW is back. It's based right now. It's on fire right now. And it's like...
Yeah. It's on fire, all right. Yeah.
And it's like, I think the thing is, like, as a wrestling fan... Maybe this is where, like, we're just different. It's like, you have to separate your own fandom from reality, you know? Like, reality is such that, you know, my favorite NBA player is Steph Curry. You know, he's been my favorite player for the last 10, 11, 12 years, basically, since he came out of Davidson. You know, it was him and Kobe for the last 15 years is my two guys. And it's like, Steph Curry ain't having a great season. The Warriors ain't having a great season. So I'm like, okay. They stink. It's okay to acknowledge that. Back and be like, well, you know, if the Warriors did this or like, well, they got an 18-13 record on the road. So really, if they start on the road playing.
No. The comparison is, well, I enjoyed watching them play, so I don't care if they're fucking losing games and everything's going crazy. I like it, so.
Like, but it's like, well, you can't do this, like, oh, AEW's so based right now. Tony lost Booker of the Year to Triple H, and he said, I'm never losing that again. Like, think about the thought process. I lost Booker of the Year because on Dave Meltzer's fake awards. So I'm gonna go so hard by booking all these dream matches that people care about, but then they don't care about. I'm gonna sign Mercedes, I'm gonna sign Okada, I'm gonna sign all these people. And it's like, look, it's a great thing to sign these great wrestlers. It's amazing. Amazing roster that AEW has. It means shit all if, one, you're not utilizing the roster correctly, and two, you're struggling to get over the hump, because the idea should be, I'm bringing these people in to take the business that we're doing to the next level. And I don't see any of those people taken into the next level. The only one, well, I think who has a shot,
I don't know, is Mercedes. I don't know if that's even like, we've fully moved over. That's why I said last week, you know, it was good while it lasted. I told you in DMs, it's Jover now. Mm-hmm. I think we've moved fully on from the goal of trying to quote unquote move it to the next level to, like, purely, this is not competition. This is an alternative, which is cool, which is fine. Honestly, just as long as, you know, hope that there still should be concern about how Warner Brothers feels about it. But
history repeats itself. There's a lot of WCW and how they move personally, but that's a different story.
There is. So we are fully in the territory of alternative. Like, it is not a competitor. It will not be a competitor anytime soon. That is what it is. We've covered the Roman Cody thing last night was fine. It's fine. It's all fine. Whatever. Pretty open and shut.
I got a thought on that just because I saw the shit that went viral and I thought it was just so corny. It's just wrestling fans to me. It's just another, I don't know, it's just another reason wrestling fans are corny. Like that white lady that was in the front row and was like, you need a bunch of strangers to acknowledge a bitch ass. And then he was like, yeah. Oh, she cooked. And I was just like, I was like, she's in the front row at SmackDown. Like, there's a front row at SmackDown. Like, I don't, like, what's cooking about that? Like, have you ever been to an MCW show, Evolve show? Have you ever been to any of those Philly independent shows? Like, fans are obnoxious. They say a bunch of crazy, even way worse shit than that. I've heard and said way worse shit than that. But it's like, it's just the terminally online, like, wrestling fans who just always go like, oh, this person cooked her, she cooked them. I was like, that's not even cooking. Like, that's not even cooking somebody. Like, you talking about a room full of strangers to acknowledge you? Like, you're all fans. Like, that's what you're there for. Like, it's just, like, people, I don't know. There's this whole, like, dunk on people culture of wrestling in general right now. And that shit just annoyed me. Because I was like, come on, man. Like, it wasn't even funny. Like, she looks annoying. I'm from Maryland. She looks very much like Dundalk Middle River. And if you're from Maryland, you're from Baltimore, you understand. Those are not people you have fun. Like, everything about her gave those vibes. So I was just like, oh, no surprise that certain wrestling fans were on that. And then, like, I saw, like, a bit of the Cody and Roman segment. It didn't move me at all. I think this is the problem. It was missing the key element, who is Loki carrying.
That combination can cook just fine. It's just,
I disagree, because I don't feel like Cody cooks ever, but that's just me. So
what I wanted to do, since we've covered that ad nauseum, and it was a little bit plain oatmeal this week, is we haven't talked about, and I haven't asked you about, your feelings about all this other stuff that looks like it's going on at WrestleMania. I gotta be honest, man. I'm a little bit let down by this, and God, it hurts me because I love AJ Styles, man. Like, love AJ Styles, but this LA Knight AJ Styles thing after the year that LA Knight had to, you know, just kind of, I don't want to call it thrown together, but to just kind of manufacture some angle for them to have a match starting a few weeks ago. It just feels like a disappointing end to all of to LA Knight's year. I would have loved to see him be the guy who's stepping up to Logan Paul for the US Championship. Like, we got to get a belt on fucking LA Knight, like, ASAP, man. He needs to be
absolutely
carrying some division. I would have loved to see him be the guy taking it off of Logan Paul, or possibly a switch over to be taken on Gunther. Even though I kind of understand the direction they're taking with him, because you want to reward Sammy with the year that he had. And you want to, you know, Chad Gable's on the rise. It looks like that's going to turn into a triple threat. You want to push that guy because it's been time for Chad Gable to have the run that he should be having. Man, personally, as much as I hate to say it, because I love AJ Styles, little disappointed with this LA Knight AJ Styles situation.
I don't think they have much chemistry together. Personally, I don't see it. I feel like it sometimes feels like AJ's phoning it in, you know, with some of his gimmick and how he's been, especially like when he's heel, he can be great. We've seen it in the past, right? So I can't help but feel like it's just a little, like a hint of chemistry, or just maybe excitement. Like, maybe it's because we were expecting and hoping something else. And because it's like a disappointment, it's kind of just like, it's just not working. I think LA Knight absolutely deserves a belt. I mean, if you're going to put, you know, Logan Paul with Orton and Kevin Owens, I think if you're going to put him in a match like that, I think you could have put LA Knight in that. Honestly, you know, you could have did that. I think, what does going over AJ Styles at WrestleMania really do for LA Knight? You know, at this point, he's already had a World Heavyweight Championship match. He's already, you know, been in main events and stuff like that before. So, like, this doesn't really do anything for him. I thought the plan, to my knowledge, up until January, was for LA Knight and Logan Paul to have the thing, and then LA Knight go over, he gets his title, and he starts to rise to, you know, maybe get into a bigger title. But I don't know if there's like a reason why that's stopped, or, you know, his momentum is a little shaky right now.
I don't think it was about LA Knight why that changed. I think that they're just really happy with the Logan Paul run, and I don't blame them. I think that's going fucking brilliantly. they're getting him regularly.
I don't think he needs a title.
His promos are good.
I don't think he needs. Doesn't need a title to do that though.
Think he does, but I think this is doing a great job of elevating the U.S. title to where it's going to be really worth something when he's done with it.
I mean, maybe they're holding off till SummerSlam or something like that, you know? Because I don't expect. I definitely don't expect Orton or, you know, or Kevin Owens to win the title.
Exactly.
So, but you know, I'm not a big Logan Paul fan. I think he's done a decent job, but once again, I think the excitement between a LA Knight and a Logan Paul leading into a WrestleMania with all the utilization of social media and how good LA Knight is with promos, I thought it could have done something more. You know, hitting was it KSI, whoever that guy is who got hit with the RKO.
Yeah,
he could have got hit with a BFT, and LA Knight could have ran him down, and they could have done like you know some viral videos calling out LA Knight to show up to the Impulsive. You know, podcast, and it turns into like a real life thing. Like there's elements there that you could really, you know, take and flip. And I don't feel like you have that dynamic with Randy and Owens. And I don't think you have that dynamic with LA Knight and AJ Styles, but I mean, I guess the possibility that LA Knight and AJ Styles can have a really good match that's there. So, you know, hopefully it turns out well. Like I said, AJ seems like he's going to be putting over LA Knight. LA Knight needs a big win because as much of the momentum as he's had, he has not had a big, big win. And he needs a big win right now. And so I guess that was why I was like, oh, it doesn't hurt AJ to lose. But and it doesn't. But like, does it elevate LA Knight? Not really. So that's my guy, man.
They need to let AJ Styles go down and have like a monster NXT champion run. Utilize him where he could be well utilized, you know.
Yeah, I would love to see him go down there and work with, you know, some of the guys down there in NXT,
and be like the heel champion, kind of Ric Flair style, where he's like the gatekeeper, like right, like he always somehow comes out on the end, but he gets in there and works with these young up and coming guys and makes them look awesome, you know, on their way. Yeah,
there's no end of talent in NXT. Right now, and there's a lot of different great talent, so that's why I like what Punk is doing. You know, Punk is there damn near every week at NXT,
sneaking around.
Yeah, like you know, because that's what Punk wanted to do in AEW. I think you know we kind of beat this you know horse to death, but
yeah,
it's like Punk wanted to do that. He wanted to sit in Collision and Dynamite and the pay per views. He wanted to sit, offer advice, and be like, "Hey, man, you guys are great. So here's what I think you should do." But, you know, the creative freedom in AEW is, you know, it's good. And me as an artist, I love people to have creative freedom. But in a business setting like that, sometimes you got to reel your people in. And, you know, especially the like young guys in the business, sometimes you got to sit down like, hey, you know, like you're doing great. Here's some pointers. Here's some, you know, things that'll make you better and things that'll help. You don't have to take my advice, but just, you know, just hear me out, you know. If you don't want to add it to your repertoire or whatever, that's fine. And I think that's
take
where
my advice. You don't have to shit talk me on a live pay-per-view.
Yeah. And yeah, that guy. But nah, man, like I said, it's just I think right now, all the veterans, though, the over 40 veterans in professional wrestling, your focus should be your next passing the torch. Who are you going to pass the torch to? And I said it earlier about Christian Cage and Edge or Adam Copeland, and I think it should be the same for all the guys. You know, even your Danielsons, who Danielson has no problem putting people over, clearly. You know, Danielson will lose and put guys over. He'll go out there, have a fucking classic, and he'll do it. And there's just certain guys who get it. You know, certain guys will get it, and I think that's what WWE needs. Most of their stars right now are technically, by standard, like almost 40 years old. Most of their guys are like 40 or almost 40 years old. And so while we're finishing Cody's story, Cody should be getting ready to, you know, pass on next who he gets to put over at you know, next year's WrestleMania or the WrestleMania after that. We should be like, this is how it works. You just got to give back to the business. Especially if you're a superstar, like everybody is not meant to have the John Cena 10, 15 years on top run, because as much as people love Cena and he did a great job, some of that hurt way more then it helped, because there's so many guys who had opportunities or could have got opportunities that didn't, because they had, like, they didn't get to rub elbows with Cena. They didn't get to go over Triple H when Triple H was dominating SmackDown for that period of time he was champion. You know, like, you don't get to see that. So I think, if anything, with all this youth movement that WWE has and NXT and some of the young up-and-coming, you know, stars, the Tiffany Strattons, the, you know, Carmelo Hayes, the Trick Williams, you have to go and give them the opportunity to get to the next level, because those are the future. And if you don't push the future, you're going to be stuck fighting with the past. And, of course, I say that as I'm marking out over Rock and Versace shirts and wanting CM Punk and Stone Cold next year at WrestleMania. But at the same time, that doesn't take away from also having the youth. These are old. These are two older guys having dream matches. And, you know, I wouldn't expect that. You know, I wouldn't expect The Rock to come back and work with Trick Williams. I mean, not The Rock, but Kevin, you know, Kevin Owens could work with Trick Williams. Randy Orton could work with Trick. AJ Styles could work. Like, it's just, you know, these are full-time guys who are there. CM Punk could work with these guys if he wanted to at a certain time. So I think, you know, sure, John Cena, you know, I'm sure, like, John Cena's going to be coming back for WrestleMania, they say. So will possibly Stone Cold and The Undertaker. I don't want to see Undertaker work with anybody. I prefer he just,
you know what you they know. Should do? For, you know what they should do with John Cena? You could probably guess it if you think for a second. Similar to last year is my idea. Braun Breaker.
Interesting. That was the thought. That was the thought.
Yeah, Braun Breaker should fucking go over John Cena at WrestleMania this year, I feel like. And then Cena can do a little fun deal afterwards and get his lick back, you know, send the crowd home happy, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you want to spread the love a little bit, just because I think that these two guys have, you may not care for them as wrestlers, but they've earned my respect. That's for damn sure. Do Braun Breaker and John Cena against Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
I like Grayson Waller. I'm not an Austin Theory guy, but I like Grayson Waller. I think he's so obnoxious that I think he's just fucking hilarious. And Austin Theory, I think I see strides being made for Austin Theory. Like but I'm just not. First of all, they need new music in WWE. I will say this every day. They need some new damn music. Them theme music. That theme music. That's why I cut SmackDown off. Like, I think I was flicking the channel and I saw it pop up and I was like, hey, man, you know what? I'll catch a little bit of it. I heard one of the themes and I was like, fuck this. And I just cut it off. Like, it's just, it's a deterrent for me watching it. But Braun Breaker. Is Braun a heel or is he a face right now?
I guess he's a face.
Interesting.
He just went out there and destroyed a guy in 37 seconds.
That not feels like a heel thing, but you don't
characterization.
You don't really know. I don't know.
Speaking of old, of harkening back, we got Jey Uso against Jimmy Juso, brother versus such brother.
I think there was a statistic like every 15 years. There's a brother versus brother match at WrestleMania.
They play so much homage to stuff that's happened now with Triple H in charge. I'd love it. They should kick off night one with it. That's my opinion.
Just I agree.
Whole Bret Hart,
Bret and Owen
style. Yeah, yep. Let's do it. Let's fucking go.
You know what's funny? I'll say this. So we have Bret versus Owen, Jeff versus Matt, and now Jey versus Jimmy. I do not expect Jey versus Jimmy to outclass or become close to Bret versus Owen, because Bret versus Owen to me is
no. That's a top 25 match of all time.
I argue it's the best opening match for WrestleMania. I can't. I'd have to really think of a match. I know Triple H
for WrestleMania. Absolutely, it's the best opening match of all time. It's arguably the best opening match of any pay per view ever. I would
it's fucking amazing.
Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio, SummerSlam 2002.
We had that conversation.
As being up there. But absolutely. So they got a lot to live up to. But I'm excited.
But I will say this. There's no way the Usos are going to outdo Bret versus Owen. It's just because Bret versus Owen is special. It's just a special time. Like, it's one of my first pay-per-views I watched and from WWF. And then I just was amazed by that match. I just thought they worked so well. And I also think the SummerSlam cage match was awesome too. So I think Bret versus Owen is just different. You can't compete with that. But they can absolutely be better than Jeff versus Matt at WrestleMania 25, which I think was very disappointing feud, a very disappointing match. And I think Jay and Jimmy, with brothers, your styles are so similar. And oddly enough, although Bret and Owen had similar styles, Owen was very much his own wrestler. You know, he was very much his own wrestler. He had his own style. And I think with Jeff and Matt don't have the same style, but Matt doesn't necessarily keep up with Jeff. So it's almost like this is two different of styles. Whereas Jay and Jimmy are very similar. So you do run the risk of being a repetitive match, because look at the offense. You know, are they going to break out some Canadian destroyers and some, you know, like we're going to be headlocking, you know, most of the match? Or what are we going to, you know, what are they going to do? So there's opportunity to create something. I am not excited for it, but I would like to see what they can pull off and how they can, you know, differentiate themselves from each other, because there's not a lot of difference. I will say, obviously, Jay's had more solo experience, but a lot of Jay's solo prominent matches, I don't want to say hit or miss. I say it's just we've yet to see Jay as a singles wrestler have what I consider to be like a classic or like an amazing, amazing, amazing match. So there's no better time than the present to do it. So
I wouldn't be surprised if they did put on a, you know, very high level. I don't know if it'll reach the heights of Bret and Owen, but I would not be surprised if on Monday morning we're all talking about holy shit that Jimmy and Jay match did not let us down. Little bit of progress on something that we've been making some guesses about this whole time. It does seem like Team BGM is starting to gel and come together to fight against Damage Control coming up. You know, obviously we got Bayley against Io Sky, but we also have the three other members of Damage Control. And you can go ahead and lay out Team BGM, what that means. It looks like it's happening.
So, for everyone who does not know what BGM means, that stands for Black Girl Magic. Now, that is a very, very popular term. I've said for a while, my thought process was it was going to be Bianca and Jay together against the Kabuki Warriors. I'm now starting to lean to we're not going to see the tag team titles defended at WrestleMania, but instead they're going to save that match for the very next pay-per-view and probably try to milk some more out of it. Bianca and Jay get to have more time together. I think what's going to happen, Jay makes her first appearance next week as an officially contracted SmackDown wrestler. I think Bianca and Naomi and Bayley get, you know, it's 4-on-3, right? 4-on-3. And you're going to have Jade's music hit. She comes out. She hits somebody with like a big right hand and like sort of like how Bianca did Dakota, you know, on SmackDown. And she's going to go in there and she's going to do something, you know, do one of her moves or whatever she's going to do. And she's going to stop and she's going to look at Bianca. She's going to look at Naomi. She's going to look at Bayley. And then there's going to be this weird, tense little moment. And then leading into the go home week of WrestleMania, we're going to then see, you know, things take shape. Now, once again, you could do Bianca and Jade against the Kabuki Warriors and do a 6 or 8 woman tag heading into the go home show for WrestleMania, which I don't think they would. I don't know if they would do that because that means Jade would be like a wrestling on SmackDown like that week right before WrestleMania. So if they're going to have her on the card, I don't think they'll do that. But you can still make things happen. Like, once again, if they were all about having the women over and over again, you could very well do an 8-woman tag on night 2 of WrestleMania with all of them and then do night 1. But I don't think they're going to have Bayley and, you know, Io Sky wrestle both nights. So I think you could very well see the, you know, BGM group as a six-woman tag against Kabuki Warriors and Dakota Kai, which on paper and in general could be a really good match. And it's a fun way for Jay to not have to do a whole lot. A good way to, you know, get that hot tag from Jade or Bianca to Jade or Jade to Bianca. Like, that's going to be a hot tag in Philly because people, and then, you know, them maybe flexing together and doing like, you know, gorilla press slams to, you know, Kyrie and Dakota, you know, like there are things
it's
there.
Becoming that, a little bit of a quasi competition between them.
You're setting the tone for we're eventually getting here, but it's a little too soon. I would have loved to see Jade have been like signed to SmackDown months ago and led to a Bianca match. But I think what they want to do is make it even bigger. So what do? You can, you know, build it up, make them tag team champions, which I think they should. Let them be this dominant tag team of, and then eventually you kind of put the seeds in there to kind of like separate them. I don't think Bianca's going to turn heel. So Jade's more likely going to be heel at some point if she's, you know, if she doesn't already start heel, but she's not going to start heel, but you know, there's going to be implications that she's going to be heel at some point. Then you run with it. You just run with it and you can start a story. Long-term storytelling seems to be the thing in WWE nowadays. You know, Roman Reigns just said himself that his story has been going on for 4 years. We said it. And Cody Rhodes hasn't shut the hell up about finishing the story for the last 2-3 years. So long-term storytelling, you put Jade and Bianca together, you make them tag team champions, and do what they've always done. Professional wrestling is very simple. You do what you've always done. The eventual split of the tag team that turns into a mega match, you just have to book them right. You know, book them right. Make them a real tag team, like a sisterly bond versus competition. And like, no, this is my sis. This is my sis. I'm my sister. And then all of a sudden, it's like the competitive nature becomes too strong. And then they lose. And Bianca takes the L. And Jay's like, I wouldn't have lost that match. Like, there's so much you could do with that down the line. Long-term storytelling for them. And I think at WrestleMania, Jade getting a WrestleMania match in front of that big crowd, she wasn't on All In. So, you know, this is, you know, All In is like now is the WrestleMania of AEW. So now she gets to have a WrestleMania moment. The Royal Rumble doesn't count. You know, that's, you know, doesn't count. Like, you're there. She had a great showing. But, like, nah, she need, you know, like, not with 30 other women. So it's a good look. I think, I said, this Bayley, Io Sky situation, I love it. I think, to me, in terms of the women's feuds that are being booked in WWE, I think it's the most fleshed out storyline, because it's the longest, obviously, but it's also just been well done. I think, you know, I don't know if Bayley wins, but, and I think, you know, both you and I, Eric, it's kind of talked about Io's title run and how it's kind of been like backburnered a little bit. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, her going over Bayley gives her the win that she needs. And maybe they do like a Dakota versus Bayley thing again or something, you know, like I don't know what the direction is after WrestleMania, but I just know for now they're doing a good job. I would like to have seen actually them close the show out this week. But maybe they'll do it next week. And maybe that's why, maybe, you know, maybe because Rock's not going to be on SmackDown next week either. So, and we just got the Roman and Cody promo. So it's like, maybe we'll start the show off next week with the Cody or Roman. I don't even know if Roman's going to be there, but maybe we'll start the show off with the Heyman and Cody thing or something like that. And then you could end with Bayley and Dakota and Io and then Jade and is
possibly
like,
you know, the Jade reveal. Yep.
Yeah. Like that's a great way to end the show. Gets people excited about WrestleMania, gets people excited for seeing Bianca, Naomi, Jade, and Bayley all working together. Like, there's a good way you can do it. WWE doesn't always hit it out the park, but they have a good chance to do something.
So what are your thoughts on how they're handling the tag titles going into this show? Big ladder match, always got to have one. I'm sure it'll be a shit show.
DIY versus the Creed brothers, right? I believe that happened on Monday.
Oh yeah.
I saw a good amount of that, and I thought, damn, both of these teams should be in the match. I would love to see both of these teams in the match. I think it's a little convoluted, a little just too jumbled a little bit, you know. The tag titles are in a weird space. I think they're leading to Awesome Truth winning the belts. I would have thought it made more sense for Awesome Truth to win the belts in a, you know, 2-on-2 because of the story. But I guess they don't want people to miss WrestleMania or WrestleMania Payday. And maybe they don't want to put a battle royal together for everybody. So they figured, let's just get all the tag teams together. It just kind of feels all over the place. Honestly, like just all over the place. I'm not a huge fan of ladder matches with like multiple teams. Like three is my max. I think four, like they did four, like when TLC back in the day, they did TLC, I think it was the third one or fourth, and they had like four teams. And I was like, this is a bit much. But I think, what are they doing? Six? It's like six teams gonna be?
Yeah, I think six teams.
It's a bit of a clusterfuck. Yeah, like a bit of a clusterfuck. Just a lot to keep your eyes on. And I don't know. Like, I think it's different when you have a 6-to-8-man Money in the Bank ladder match because everybody's going for one thing. But when it's teams,
I would have liked to have seen it go, you know, because, you know, one of the famous one is Dudley's, Edge and Christian, Jeff Hardy, and the Hardys. I would have liked to see them do a Raw bracket and a SmackDown bracket, and the two winners of the two tournaments got to be in, and the third team be the tag team champions. And then you could pay homage to that great WrestleMania moment with the three teams in the TLC. In a, you know, we wouldn't call it TLC, yeah. It used to be a ladder match, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you could have done that as well. And then you could have had three deserving teams, built up the tag team division, had it be less of a clusterfuck, paid homage to a great, you know, kept traditions alive. But that is modern wrestling.
It's that mania.
You gotta have your clusterfuck. I mean, you know, get the battle royal going. Goddamn. I'm sure there will be two, each night.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I've been harping on that for a long time. There's really no reason. And maybe with Triple H and just a different view, things will change a little bit. There's no reason whatsoever for those to be so useless. Like, there's no reason that you can't, you know, give the winner a title shot or... You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason you can't put something on that to actually make it mean something and make people, you know, fight for it and have it be a meaningful match other than just so obviously being like, oh, we wanted to get everybody the payday and get them on the card. So cool. Like, no, all you got to do is book one person. You know what I mean? And then they get a title shot whenever, you know, whenever.
Just build. It's just excitement. It's just a way to build excitement. Like I've never really grasped why, you know, why they haven't done a couple things. You know, I don't really understand. Like the Royal Rumble becomes so exciting, right? And that's like you can take a battle royal and make it super exciting. So why not do that with this? But I don't know. I mean, I guess it takes too much effort. Too much effort to build.
I don't know. Speaking of building excitement, we hear DAR been building a lot of excitement lately, especially for the UFL, the primary spring football league. We got picked up by the United Football Media to record a show for them. It comes out noon every Monday on their YouTube channel. Will we be doing wraparound coverage of all of the UFL games? Super pumped because this week's episode, we're going to finally get to do some game predictions, get ready to preview some games, get ready for the season to get rolling next week. We also have Hooping and Hollering every Wednesday. We have Football Fridays. Both of those pods get pretty damn spicy on a regular basis. So we know you guys are here for the wrestling insight from a guy who's been watching it and has known people in the business for 30 plus years and myself, a guy in the True God who used to work in wrestling, both in front of the camera and behind the camera on commentary, running some booking, running things creatively in the backstage in the North Carolina Indies. We know you're here for that and we appreciate you for that. But if you're into sports, check out our sports coverage as well. We are DAR Sports Media are coming at you every other day right now, and we'll be through UFL season. So check us out on the United Football Media YouTube. Check us out on our feeds. And those feeds are probably going to be expanding soon. See what we get figured out soon. As you can see from all of this stuff, every other day, the world of DAR never stops.
When I say fuck all y'all, I want y'all to say fuck all y'all.
Are we ready?
Are y'all ready?
Say fuck all y'all.
Fuck all y'all.
Fuck all y'all.
Street shit when it's from the heart. Don't be going talking at your ass to get torn apart. Separated like a foster kid, metal with spark. You can tell the difference from my styles like fine art. Never share my plans with the hoe, now how bitches talk. They'll be digging your gray body surrounded by white chalk. Get a load of this coward, you know he friend. Why his heart smaller than the 50 bags we be dumping in vanilla dutch is my clique. Ain't nothing to fuck with.